were slightly rounded, with supporting ribs of bolted metal. Everything was painted white. The five companions peered into it. Christy sniffed the air.
It smells sort of stale and flat. And dusty.
Don't like the feel of this. What's anyone else think? How about you, Mildred?
I haven't done this often enough to know. But if you all think there's something wrong, then maybe we should just cut our losses and get out.
It'll mean another jump. Not a prospect I think any of us welcomes with particularly open arms.
JB was studying the far door, which also had a large polished steel ring at its center and an array of dials and readouts set into the wall. The door was sealed with a thick strip of black rubber.
Certainly looks like an airlock.
Must be a way of opening the outer door from inside here. Close this one again and then use an automatic override on the far door. But I don't see any way of doing it.
What's that?
Mildred stooped and picked something up from the floor.
What is it?
Mildred uncrumpled it and held it out flat on her palm. It was a torn wrapper, silver-colored with red lettering.
Energy bar. Contains 15 vitamins and minerals, no preservatives, pecan and cinnamon. It's fresh. This can't have been here more than a few days.
This starts weird and gets weirder, lover. Fresh coffee and now this bit of paper? Someone's been here very recently. That I can really feel.
Let's go look out that door. We can't walk away.
Ryan looked at the open chamber and the far door.
Safer I go in while you lock this inner door after me.
For a moment he thought Christy was going to raise an objection, but she said nothing.
I'll watch through this window, and if there's any trouble, any, I'll open up here. You close the outer door, Ryan.
Sure.
Listen, if these gauges are anywhere near right, you'll have to pull hard to open that lock. But once you do, the air could leak out fast, real fast.
Hold your breath, my dear Ryan.
And keep your powder dry.
Best foot forward, lover.
Shoulder to the wheel.
Chin up, chest out.
Why don't you all place an implug run up your asses and pull the pin?
It took both hands to work the control wheel, which meant Ryan's blaster remained tucked in his belt. Previous nightmare experiences in alien gateways had taught the one-eyed man to take extreme care or suffer the likely prospect of instant death. Despite the dials showing lower air pressure outside, Ryan took no chances. For all they knew, the redoubt might be buried 500 feet below an ocean, and to release the locking mechanism could mean a burst of seawater surging in with lethal force. He was aware of JB's face pressed to the armaglass window. His friend was ready to react at a nanosecond's warning to any threat.
Lock shifting.
There was an audio link from the main room.
Do it slow.
The wheel suddenly spun free between Ryan's fingers. He braced himself against the door, but nothing happened. Wiping a film of sweat from his forehead, he took the handle and began to pull at it.
Jammed.
He braced his boot against the frame and heaved with all his strength. Then there was a great hiss of air, and the door moved toward him. Ryan glimpsed a bright light and a flash of limitless desert. Then his lungs emptied, and he sank helplessly into a clinging swamp of suffocating blackness.
Head feels like a bunch of stickies have been digging around inside it.
Mildred patted Ryan's head.
With your constitution, Ryan, little loss of oxygen shouldn't be a problem, thanks to JB getting you out in time and shutting the inner door.
Ryan had already thanked JB for his swift response to the danger. Now he stood and joined the others by the airlock.
Want to look out, lover?
Ryan took a deep, slow breath. His chest and throat hurt, and his skull was throbbing with a vicious, sick ache. The dials around the doors hadn't been faulty. The air outside was much thinner than the air within the complex.
I still don't understand it.
The far door remained ajar, giving a tantalizing glimpse at what lay outside the redoubt. They were obviously very high up, with a landscape scrolled beneath them. It looked like late morning or early afternoon, with a bright coppery sun hanging in a sky that ranged from palest cerulean on the left side to a rich pinkish purple on the right. As far as Ryan could make out through the blurring armaglass, the land was untouched desert. Rolling dunes stretched as far as Ryan's eye could see. Nothing moved. Nothing seemed to grow there. No bird flew across the flawless dome of the sky.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Not even air we can safely breathe.
So we get out of here and try another jump to some other place.
Oh, my aching heart and limbs. Oh, my muddled, puddled, fuddled head. Can we not remain here for a day or so?
And do what?
Explore the remainder of the redoubt. There may be all manner of wonders. Gold from the Incas, or fine silver from the wily pattern of the high hills. Who knows?
There's nothing here, Doc.
How do you know, old friend?
Because there isn't any fucking redoubt here, Doc.
What?
Look around you. There's the control room. No other exits. One door into the gateway, one outside. Nothing else at all.
But there has to be a redoubt.
Doc looked stricken, hooded eyes darting from one friend to another. Then the old man realized Ryan was correct. Apart from the double airlock where they stood, the only other door bore the familiar sign, "Entry absolutely forbidden to all except B-18 and above personnel. All personnel must have NASA SEC clearance pass at all times."
Most said B-18 personnel, but I've never seen anything about that NASA SEC pass before, either.
Yeah, that's new to me, too. You see that before, Lover?
Ryan was staring out through the small pane of armaglass, past the open door, to the strange world beyond.
Lover?
Ryan turned and looked directly at Christy.
Best get moving. Into the gateway. Now!
Nobody asked him why, and nobody hesitated, questioning what he'd seen. All followed him across the control room, through the bare anteroom, and into the red-walled chamber. JB was last. They sat on the floor, trying to get comfortable for the jump. Only then did Christy pose the question they all wanted to ask.
What did you see, Lover?
I'm not quite sure. Wish we could have shut that outer door. Could have been that bringing it toward us. I kind of smelled it.
What?
The Matt Trans jump put an end to the conversation. Oddly, it wasn't as painful a jump as the previous one. All of Ryan's companions recovered consciousness quite quickly, though Doc suffered a nosebleed that dappled his swallow's eye kerchief with dots of crimson. This time, the walls of the chamber were a very pale golden color. As soon as Ryan was able to sit up and take notice, one of the first things he saw was a large vertical crack running from floor to ceiling on the wall directly opposite the gateway door. JB followed Ryan's gaze and then looked around the chamber.
There's another crack in the floor in that corner over there. See it?
Yeah. This whole chamber seems deteriorated.
Doesn't go clean through, Lover. If it had, we might all have leaked into hyperspace or wherever it is we slurry off to during a jump.
The sudden image of his molecules being dissipated through an infinite universe sent a chill down Ryan's spine.
Let's get out of here before the walls fall down around us. Ready?
The room immediately adjacent to the gateway was larger than usual, about 15 feet square, and decorated in a pale yellow that matched the color of the armaglass. There was a steel table, one of its legs bent almost at right angles, stuck in a corner. A row of coat hooks jabbed out from the wall on the right. One of them held a torn white t-shirt. The rest were empty.
Sense anything, Lover?
No. Nothing here. The air's very stale and flat.
Ryan could tell that for himself. So many of the hidden redoubts he'd entered had the same sour smell, a strange dullness that lingered on the tongue, flavored with 100 years of buried nothingness. The Matran's control room was also bigger than usual, with 8 rows of consoles, screens, and comp lights. 3 of the 8 rows were down, blank and dead. The outer door, however, was conventional, massive SEC steel, with automatic opening and closing instructions, as well as a manual override lever. JB holstered his Steyr pistol.
Looks like a clean evacuation.
Shall I open it up?
Slow down. That last one makes me want to be more careful. Best use the hand lever. Easier to open an inch and shut it quickly. Once those hydraulics engage, they sometimes take time to reverse.
Allow me, my dear young lady.
Doc offered Christy a courteous bow, his silver hair tumbling forward to hide his face. Unfortunately, the jump had made him a little unsteady, and he nearly fell over.
Oh, it seems my equilibrium needs a bit more time to adjust. I reckon that my inner ear seems to desire emigration from my body. I do think it would be in my best interest to sit down.
Don't worry about it. I'll get the lever.
Oh,
it's stiff.
I trust we shall not be gazing out over the trackless wastes of Mars or Jupiter or wherever the last jump took us.
None of them had actually verbalized where the previous jump had taken them, though Ryan had wondered if they were still on planet Earth. Christie let go of the lever.